Time now for the Six Rings Postgame Show, presented by McFarlane Energy. Breaking down everything Patriots. Now, here's Fitzy and Hart on WEEI.
And despite Buffalo kind of dominating this half, it's a three-point game. New England's still in it.
Popped up in the air, and Rousseau nearly
hit
a pick.
Get it. That's a lateral. That's a lateral.
Touchdown, Buffalo! Taron Johnson got over there. It was a backward throw. Ramondre Stevenson, the intended target. The Bills add to their lead. Rousseau was in the area, threw off the timing for New England. And you stick with the play.
Tis the season of giving. Friends of Foxborough, they say it is better to give than receive. So how charitable of the New England Patriots to give their fans a reasonably watchable game and also give the first-place Buffalo Bills and aspiring league MVP Josh Allen, who was far from his finest self on this day, the gift of a game that could easily have gone New England's way. Why, I dare say, one and all within the sound of our voice on the Six Rings postgame show, live here on New England Sports Original, 93.7 FM, WEEI, WEEI.com, and throughout our fabulous affiliates and the Odyssey app, that this was darn near a perfect game for the 2024 Patriots. We saw effort. We saw energy. It was competitive. At times, dare I say, even a bit entertaining. And yet, in the end, they didn't win. They didn't blow their draft slot. And now, ladies and gentle friends, because of the Las Vegas Raiders and our old pal Mac Jones, the New England Patriots have the second overall draft pick in the 2025 draft after a game that was more entertaining and competitive than any of us could have thought possible. It's not quite a Christmas miracle, but there is some holiday joy in our football-loving hearts. Good evening, everybody. Hey, we did it! Hey, we got more than half of a good game, and then we got a slightly urgent finish. It went down to the final moments. There were timeouts taken. Yes, of course. You can't turn the ball over three times and a half. It's a team that has a very narrow margin of error in the first place. But did that look like a team? I ask you, friends, did that look like a team that was ill-prepared? A team that quit on their coach? A team that was anticipating a collapse and already making postseason vacation plans? I think not. They may have even been more aggressive on play calling in response to ownership. These are some of the things we will debate on tonight's abbreviated edition of the Six Rings postgame show. Your old pal Nick Fitzy Stevens here alongside Andy Jumbo Hart with producer Joe Braverman manning the text line and the phone lines, which both can be accessed by using this number, 617-779-7937. We will go live to Buffalo to hear from Patriots coach Gerard Mayo when he takes to the podium, as well as quarterback Drake May on the show. We'll have the Cars for Kids player of the game. We'll also have Andy's world famous, everyone excited for the thumbs up, thumbs down list. And it's all brought to you by our friends at McFarlane Energy. What'd you think, Hart?
I thought that was the most frustrating game of the season in so many ways. It was absolutely winnable.
Yep.
From a Buffalo perspective, I don't think they nor Josh Allen played their best day.
No, they were very injured, too.
The run defense sucked for the Patriots, which was infuriating. Obviously, you had that big Cook run early that kind of took the wind out of the sails. You're up 14, and you're like, huh, what the hell's going on here? Could this be a real upset alert? And I thought that really changed the momentum. The turnovers, Drake May was great early. Drake May made some mistakes. Clearly, ball security. I know we're going to get on Drake May for dropping the ball, costing him time in the shotgun in the red zone. The fumbles by Stevenson, the ball became an issue. The ball became it was clearly the cold. It was down to 8, I think, and then it was felt like 0 or 1. Ball security, ball comfort. There were drops that were just, I think, the Cooper one late. I think those were related to the ball. But for me, the most frustrating takeaway was I'm all set with these coaches. Like, if you're going to listen to the media and the fans, then as Parcells said, go sit with them. Because if you're going to start running Drake May, because people on the radio bitched about it, whether they be media or fans, You're an embarrassment. Just a couple days ago, Alex Van Pelt told us, no, they weren't going to have designed runs for Drake because the priority was to protect him. Now they're running him all over the field today. And then we bitch all year, you're not aggressive enough, and we're going for fourth and two on your own 23. It was like
a fake punt on your own 23. It was Dan Campbell ball, dude.
Right. Like, it was, you know, it was like your wife bitches about you never buy her flowers, and you literally go out and buy flowers, and she's like, that's not the point. I shouldn't have to ask for them. That's what this felt like, and it was infuriating to me. I'm sorry. If you're going to react, even if you're going to react to the owner, did the owner twist your arm and say, run Drake? Did the owner twist your arm and say, go for it on fourth down? And then, with the game on the line, 8 minutes to go in the fourth quarter, you're near midfield, you punt. And I'm like, what? We went for it on our own 23 last time. Now the game's on the line. You're going to punt it away and lose this game? So they're an abomination because they have rabbit ears. They blow with the wind, literally and figuratively.
Yeah, I wondered. There were two extremely curious decisions to me. One, at the end of the game, the onside kick. Okay, you have all three timeouts, so you could just kick it deep and hope to play defense. God forbid the defense show up when they need them the most at the end of the game, and of course they decide to go for the onside kick. And then which running back was it? Their third stringer that hauled off that 11-yard run on the first play around left tackle. That
the Davis basically kid, right?
Yeah, that iced the game for them.
Yeah,
no, Johnson, Davis, whatever. There was that. But also, the surrender index almost broke when you decided to punt with 8 minutes to go.
Like, awful.
You
awful.
Need two scores. This is what we... This right here is the be aggressive. Yep. That's where you have to go for it. You can't just punt it away and say, oh, hopefully we'll get a chance to score two more times if Buffalo even gives us the ball back. That was bad coaching.
Yeah, I... Some people may spin this as another Gerard Mayo close loss, one score game. They played hard on the road, moral victory, whatever. I think this was another debacle for the coaching staff. The play calls were questionable at best. Again, I really am now firmly believing that Alex Van Pelt will be the quarterback's coach next year. He will not call another play in New England after this season, but I don't think he's getting fired. That's my hot take.
Do you think he would take a demotion?
Like, I do. I think he's one of the few. I think his personality and militaristic style, old school football style, will fall in line behind the next leader. And my guess is the next guy hopefully will be somebody with some cachet, maybe even his former boss, Stefanski, if he gets canned by the Browns.
That would be weird.
Maybe Brian Daboll if he gets canned by the Giants. But I now more than ever, I brought this up to Arcand on Thursday, and I talked through it with them on the pregame show today. I now more than ever think AVP might stay just in a diminished role, and I think he's actually good for Drake May. I think Drake May likes him, loves him, defends him, feels like he's empowered by him as a position coach. He's not the guy to design the offense. He's not the guy to call the plays. That they have to go in a different direction there.
So at this point, and once again, you guys can jump in and join the conversation, text us or give us a call, 617-779-7937. We're here with you till 9 p.m. tonight, at which point we'll throw it over to Westwood One's coverage of Buccaneers versus Cowboys. Your frustration with the way tonight's game was handled.
Everything,
by the coaching
from start
staff,
to finish. Even
start
the
to
end.
Finish.
Like, did they seem like they were in a hurry to you, even though they should have been in a hurry?
No, that's another note I have on my little post-game docket right here. Two things. Number one, seemed like there was no urgency.
None.
No hustle back to the huddle.
That's AVP. That's coaching. Or Mayo. Whoever you want to blame it on, that's the leader.
How about this
of the
sentiment
office.
From the text line, 978, this coaching staff was coaching like they're about to lose their jobs.
And the play clock went down to like 2 seconds. Every freaking snap.
Oh, yeah.
They could have been called for like 10 delay of game. They could have been called for like 8 to 10 delay of games. And also, Andy, did it not feel like if Buffalo sent more than 4 pass rushers, they could have had, they were in the backfield all night long?
Oh, yeah. The pass protection was not good. They actually, Gibson had a couple nice blitz pickups at times, but I thought this was the most pressure May has been under in a while. It felt like he always had to roll right, roll left. This was a throwback to the beginning of the season when we saw Brissett having to sort of run for his life under duress pretty much every throw. They were pretty bad offensively after a pretty good start, if that makes any sense. I thought they got off to a really nice start, and then I thought the offense just absolutely petered out.
When you go up 14-0 in the NFL, generally speaking, without having to check all of the advanced metrics, I'm sure we can probably go on to some nerdtastic website and find out what their win percentage was or the win expectation. I bet it was definitely over 60% because, you know, you do have to factor in Mayo's coaching, rookie mistakes,
the immediate 50-yard touchdown run you allow.
Yeah, the like just go
that
right. That's a great play.
That's a
real momentum builder.
To the balls. That was just when the game was about to get into, like, I was tweeting hashtag upset alert. This felt like college basketball upset alert.
Is Buffalo having a trap game, everyone?
Then you give up a 50-yard touchdown run, and it's just like right to the right.
This sounds like we've actually had like an identity switch tonight, because I tried to spin it. Though frustrating as it may be, I think I'm so resigned to just being perpetually frustrated by this team that I looked at the entertainment factor and some of the effort put forth by the Boutes and the Hunter Henrys and the Drake Mays of the world, Marte Mapu, who should be on both of your lists tonight when we go through thumbs up and thumbs down.
No, he only gets one of them.
Okay. Well, hey, stay tuned. That's called.
I'm not
going to
give you a clue, but it's Angry Andy for an hour and a half here.
But I'm thrilled that they're now sitting squarely at with the number two pick.
That I like.
In next April's draft. Whereas, also, like, you started out tonight's show just like, that's it. I've had it with these
bums.
Pissed. They can't coach. They blow it.
They can't coach. They did blow it. And I do think this was a little bit of a measuring stick, and I give him the benefit of the doubt. This was the coldest game, I'm guessing, that Drake Mays ever played in. He has not played in it in regularity. It was one of the coldest games in Buffalo. I think they started in the top five and moved their way up the list as the game went on. So
it had to feel below zero. If it's an actual eight, here's Gerard Mayo, everyone.
We're battling. Unfortunately, we weren't able to do that today. I mean, it's a good football team on the road, hostile environment. Can't do it.
We didn't see a reminder after the second thumb. Was there any consideration to keep things up at the red back?
Look, we always talk about, you know, the football is the most important thing, and we can't turn the ball over, especially against a good team like this.
You guys went for it on 4th and 1 from your own 23, but then on that same drive, 4th and 1 from your own 34, you punted. What was the thought process there?
I'm not going to get too much into the thought process on that. You know, I try to do what was best for the team.
What made punting from midfield in the fourth quarter the best decision for you?
To me, it's a field position thing.
There were two laterals that we saw, especially for the one that Ramondre made in the end zone. Were those play designs, or was the execution on Buffalo's
takeovers? You know, I got to watch the film and see exactly what happened there. I tried to see it on the Jumbotron. Unfortunately, I couldn't really see it.
Dredd mentioned some field position game down 10 there. Is 8.5 minutes up? What do you mean by that?
No, for me, it's all about, you know, our timeouts, especially at that point in time, are definitely important. And, you know, when you have three timeouts at the end of the game, you have a chance to get the ball back, and we didn't do it.
Why not, you guys chose to onside kick? Why not kick it deep? You had three timeouts, I think, at the time, and try to play the clock.
Yeah, it was a good onside kick. We didn't come up with it, and that was a decision I made.
Gerard, we saw Drake, you know, run a little bit more by design today, sneaks, things like that. You know, what made today the day that you guys wanted to do that?
Yeah, you know, for us, you know, we thought that was best for the football team, and, you know, he can make plays with his legs, and he did that today.
Why was it best for the football team?
We're always looking for ways to win.
What did you see at his interception?
I got to go back and watch the film just to be on the same page. But, you know, again, I'm sure he's disappointed in throwing an interception, and all of us are, and we'll learn from it.
Did you think there's interference on that play? Is that the reception?
Again, like, I got to watch the film, you know, as far as that's concerned.
I think it was the second quarter they had the procedure penalty on the kickoff, and you guys took it at the 27-yard line. Why did you want to take it there as opposed to making that kick again?
Yeah, that's always, you know, a consideration to me. You know, the offense is doing a good job, and we wanted to get those guys back on the field.
Much faster start for your team today. What would you just attribute to the better start today?
Honestly, I'm not sure. Gotta go. I have to watch the film. You know, the guys were ready. In the locker room, I felt like the guys were ready to go, and they went out there and started fast. Now we got to do the same thing in the second half and put them together.
John, they scored 30 points in 8 straight games. What would you describe as kind of the pillars of your defensive game plan here today?
For our game plan, you know, obviously it starts with the quarterback. And in saying that, you know, we felt pretty good about the game plan. And yeah, I'm not really sure as far as points, but, you know, when we talk about complementary football and the offense being able to put together those long drives also helped us out. So it all ties in together.
Jordan, how much of a lesson learning day is today for your rookie quarterback with the battle and then just kind of the mistakes and everything that he can learn from today?
Yeah, that's what makes Drake a very good player, a special player, his mentality of learning from his mistakes. And he's not a repeat error guy, as I've said before. And we look forward to getting back out on the practice field and getting better.
2 games left in the season. How much are you saying?
Oh, I mean, I've learned a lot. I've learned a lot, not only about this team, but also about myself. And we'll continue to push forward, and we'll get better. As I said earlier, look, the standard, the expectations still remain high, no matter what, you know, where we play, who we play, it doesn't matter. You know, the expectation is that we're going to go out there and win football games.
What did you see from Keyshawn Booty? Obviously, the league started off again, apologizing to Husker and talking for some of the comments. It seemed like he was able to bounce back again.
Yeah, you know, just, you know, apologize like a man and move forward, move on.
Gerard, you have mentioned before that by the end of the season, you guys were hoping to be a really tough team to play against. With that in mind, reflect on this game. It's a closer game than a lot of people were expecting. How do you think about that?
Yeah, we never get into the expectations of people outside of our building. For me, I think these guys, they have the mindset to go out there and be physical, have, you know, great mental toughness, and try to win football games.
Were they the tough team that you've been hoping they could be?
Look, we got a bunch of tough guys in there, and I don't question that. Again, though, look, we want to win football games, and that's why we're here.
Gerard, kind of following up with what Phil said, coming to this week, it was kind of a lot of questions going on around the team and everything else. You're 14-point underdogs. You come in here against a team that's, you know, playing for everything. You're 3-11. Just kind of your thought on what they brought to the table today, especially in that first half and then the
very,
fight.
Very proud of these men. You know, they came out here, they played hard, and unfortunately, didn't walk away with a win.
If you look at that play that ended up being the throw behind the line and the touchdown for Buffalo, for Drake, should he have seen the defender? It looked like he might have been, even if he had caught it from Andre, he would have tackled him a lot. Should Drake be throwing it and completing that sort of situation?
Well, that's another one I have to go back, you know, to the film and watch it. I'll answer it for you tomorrow.
What do you feel like you learned about your team today?
Not much. These guys have been coming to work every single day, regardless of what the record is, as true professionals. And I appreciate that. And look, hopefully, at least some wins here in the last couple of weeks.
Basically, you saw from the sideline today, pictures or kind of clips you flipped through there. What did you see from your run defense today?
Again, you know, the big run hurt us. And we just got to do a better job tackling.
You guys got there at the 4-yard line. I think it took like 9 plays to get hands on. It's sort of frustrating in the situation. You say, what needs to go better here in the last 2 games to, you know, be better that close to the game?
Look, it's a little bit frustrating, but as you've watched around the league, you know, there have been times where, you know, guys, you know, run it there, don't run it. But we had to get the ball in the end zone through the air, and that was the decision. Good. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
At Morgan Seaport on Twitter. Shares with the Six Rings pod at FitzyGFY and at Jumbo Heart. Gerard Mayo's answer to every question, I got to watch the film. There's a lot of going back and watching the film in tonight's presser. He did take a lot of questions. The answers were quicker. It was kind of a rapid-fire post-game session for Mayo. He didn't sound pleased. He didn't sound too frustrated, Andy. It just, I don't even really know how. What would you say is his emotional baseline as a coach?
Resignation, I guess. That this is a bit of a trudge for him through his first season, that it's probably gone as difficult as he could have imagined or worse. And I do think it's worn on him. What'd you learn tonight? Not much. You know what that tells me? Feels like the same thing over and over again, like a little Groundhog Day-ish. You know, they're competing.
They plateaued, you mean, you know?
Yeah. Like, I think he believes they're competing. And yet he also believes they still struggle to tackle and they still struggle to give up the big run that costs them. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I think he knows his team at this point. There's an identity. Unfortunately, it's a losing identity. And some of the mistakes are quite familiar.
Yeah, there was a little bit of a hubbub, if you will, online as well, that on the 47-yard touchdown that Buffalo scored, that the clock had hit zero and they should have been called for a delay of game.
Oh, jeez, you people.
I mean, really, let's not.
I do have a – we're not doing this now because we don't have the time, but can you remind me?
Yeah.
I would really like to know, and I don't know who to ask, but I feel like I can find somebody at the NFL. Why can't they just go to the tenth of a second like the shot clocks in the NBA? Like – it would solve everything. That weird hits zero and we give you that little extra after zero because it's not really zero. Just put a tenth of a second, you know what I mean? The decimal point.
Yeah.
And then when it goes 0.0, it's really over. Have an automatic whistle. Go like the NBA. Mm-hmm. Have a cannon go off the second it actually hits.
It's a great idea. Just have a red light go off in the stadium.
Right.
Or have a sound be made like, sorry,
right.
Time's up. Don't leave it up to five people that are looking at clocks and a ball on the field.
And that, other things. Right, like they have other things. Like the NBA takes it sort of out of your hands because the whole backboard lights up.
Christian Gonzalez is at the podium, everyone.
Gonzo.
Drake May should be next. Yeah, Gonzo. Didn't hear his name.
He's
called
very
too often
festive.
Today.
He's wearing a white snow hat with a snowflake on his on the emblem.
Oh, really?
Jerry Callahan won't like that snowflake.
I was gonna say. Oh, he's got a Joe Braverman on top of his head. How?
Oh, wow.
I'm kidding.
No, it's a Christian Arcand.
Oh, is he the snowflake of the station?
Oh, absolutely. Wow. He calls himself a liberal weenie. He literally refers to himself as that. Yeah. Yeah.
Now, see, I'm getting a bunch of text messages from friends that watch the game, right? Like, over at the end of the Mayo Presser. And look, folks, if you don't want to, because Christmas is in 3 days, Hanukkah starts in 3 days, if you don't want to just get into the negativity that is Patriots social media or any online dialogues, it's pretty bad. No, it's a cesspool these days. It's so toxic.
Oh, yeah.
Everything.
People got
fire
pissy
mayo,
with me because
mayo.
People got pissy with me because I mocked Belichick hiring his son. You know, there was like reports.
Wait, he did?
Well, reports early in the game is that Steve Belichick is indeed going to North Carolina. And I just retweeted it and said, boy, he must have nailed the interview to get that job. Yeah.
and so people
but what are your qualifications
you?
Here?
Oh, people got mad
at you for making that joke?
That Patrick
that
Pass
harmless.
Guy. That Patrick Pass guy was like, oh, you mean like this guy? And put a picture of Daron Mayo, Gerard Mayo's brother, who's the strength coach. And I was like, Bill hired that guy. He's been here before.
I know who you're talking about.
He got promoted.
And I'll be quite honest. That guy sucks.
Oh, they all suck. They all got defensive about Bill. Then it, like, all the problems on the defense, or Gerard didn't interview for his job, so used the same smoke, blah, blah, blah. Like, it was just a joke about nepotism. And the reason, as I told one of my Twitter followers, we all bitch about nepotism is because we don't have a super successful millionaire, billionaire father to pave the way for us, most of us, and we're a little bit jealous.
Yeah.
Hallelujah!
Listen, hey, good for them. The legacy plan will be in place. Steve will coach eventually. Bill had a great week at the transfer portal, getting tight ends, offensive linemen. Don't ever draft a wide receiver from North Carolina. Just a little tip from me to you, NFL. But otherwise, hey, good for them.
But yes, you're right. In your overall
it's
point,
very negative. Hey, Andy, hold on. Here's Drake May.
Negative.
The way you are, you've got your spirit. How tough was that with the way you guys maybe played the best first half of the season coming in, and then the turnovers in that sequence in the second half? How much did that cost you? How frustrating was that?
Yeah, it's really frustrating. Just hurting ourselves, the same thing. Same things repeating, and you know, those guys are playing. We're playing hard. That's the biggest thing. You know, I see those guys are fighting. We're fighting. You know, what atmosphere out there was. You know, we feel like the weather didn't really affect us. I feel like we're running the ball well, throwing it well, and got off to a hot start. And just came out of the second half and just, you know, put our defense in a tough spot after they tied it up, and then went down there in the red zone. Just gotta be better in the red zone on me. You know, I gotta be better. I gotta be better with getting to stuff and be ready for, you know, blitz zero and making plays. And at some point down there, it's a reflection of the quarterback. I think it's gonna start to come that way down there in the red zone, and I gotta, you know, do better and do more and make better throws and give our guys chances because, you know, they're playing their butts off.
When you say it's a reflection of the quarterback, you mean they're kind of challenging you, they're pretty edge rushers.
Yeah, for sure, yeah. I mean, just me seeing it, you know, you're presenting a picture, then bringing zero, they're presenting a picture, then dropping out. I think it's just a challenge on me to, hey, we're going to force you to make tight throws, we're going to force you to be ready for blitz zero, we're going to force you to not be able to run the ball, and maybe I make a play, not letting me scramble. I think I scrambled a little bit too early sometimes tonight. And then just at the end of the day, you know, we're in that game, and that's a playoff football team we just played with a MVP candidate, and, you know, we're in that game, and I felt like we had a chance to come out with that one.
You saw two laterals in the game. Are those designed to be laterals, or is that execution off on those plays?
I'm not really sure.
Backers pass is not laterals, but there's backers pass to Ramondre.
Yeah, we've been running that play all season. I'm just unfortunate that, you know, we didn't get the end. You know, that end's a, you know, a big dude, and it's a tough player to cut. So that's really just a, you know, tough break, and you know, got to get back and maybe try to make it forward. But, you know, tough play on Mondre to catch it and get blown up. So maybe either got to throw it at somebody's feet or do something different. Yeah, I think there's a collision definitely at the goal line. We had a, you know, concept, and, you know, you know, kind of felt like it was gonna be the same type throw against the Colts to hoop, and I let go early, you know, thinking he'd break it off, and you know, just wasn't on the same page. I gotta give him a, you know, chance. I think he was thinking back pylon, so I gotta give him a better chance to, you know, give him a maybe hold the safety a little bit. So Just you know, frustrating. We're down there. Got a chance to go up and you know make it a 21-17 ball game, and just a kind of frustrating kind of heartbreaker.
Can you
just take a shot, pressed up, man. You know, I'm just giving our guys a chance to win on a fade ball, and I think you know I had some other chances tonight. Throw back shoulders instead of you know throwing up over the shoulder, but you know, great play by Booty. And I felt like it was a great start to you know the game for you know getting up 7-0, and then you know what a catch.
What were your impressions of your first quarterback design pass? How did that
feel? Yeah, I think the one on the goal line should cut it up. I thought it was slick out there. Couldn't really feel my feet, but I think the other stuff. I think it's you know a chance for us to pick us first downs. We had a big one at the end there around the edge, and other than that, I think you know there's time for it. But at the same time, I think. And me making plays, I think I'll scramble enough and make some plays.
What was the conversation with AVP and maybe Gerard around those plays being introduced and used in the game plan? What are those thoughts?
Yeah, just you know, big 6'5" dude that can you know pick up a yard or you know beat somebody with some speed. I think people underestimate me a little bit, so I think it helps us offensively to move the change. And at this point, you know, we need some help in whether some short yardage or some different areas, you know, down in the red zone for me to you know, go make a play. So.
So, Dad, you're always talking about how you guys want to be a team that's really difficult to play against at the end of the year. Despite the loss, do you take any solace in the fact that you're able to play close game against a good team here today?
Yeah, I think you know when you lose, it's tough to kind of you know think about the positives, and you know it's so frustrating. You know, I'm going to hold myself from some anger. It's just you know at some point it turns from disappointment to just kind of you're getting frustrated, real frustrated. So. The big thing is it's a tough environment here. It's basically a night game, basically a primetime game in Buffalo, and you know, like I said, against MVP candidate, and you know, good defense, and a team that's going to be in the playoffs. I was proud of the guys, and you know, Coach Mayo said that at the end. You know, of tonight's kind of breakdown, he said, "You know, proud of us, but at the same time, this is not where we want to be." And but I think it's kind of a sneak peek, hopefully, into you know some meaningful games here, and you know, hopefully, it's at our place in the future years, but. Some meaningful games at the end, you know, with Buffalo in December, and hopefully just some super team in 2 weeks. So.
Along those lines, your final question is kind of follow what Bill said. You know, the fact that there were you know, 14 underdogs coming in there, 11-3 or 3-11, a lot swirling around AVP this week and even Gerard. How good was it for the team to come out and kind of send a message that you got the coach's backs? You know,
yeah, just trying to block out that noise. You know, I think it's a you know a bunch of you know, conversations about our. But our coaching staff and you know stuff like that. I think it's you know some BS to be quite honest. You know, Coach Mayo, those guys. Coach Mayo's. You know, we got like I said, we got his back and he's coaching hard. He wants to win. We all want to win. You know, we're all frustrated. AVP's been. I feel calling great the past weeks. We're just plays away and especially me turning the ball over. I think it's just a you know testament to these guys that keep fighting. We keep fighting. We're not gonna make the playoffs. We're out of the race and these guys are keep coming in and. I'm frustrated when we don't score, and they got energy at practice, and they got energy coming to the game, and you know, we want to win. There's guys not even playing that are yelling on the sidelines and wanting to win. So it's I think we're building something good, building something that feels right here, and you know, I'm proud to be a Patriot.
Last question is different. After going 0-for-6 last week against Arizona on a third down, he started 4-for-4 today.
Yeah. For sure. I feel like last week just really getting in the flow of the game. I feel like kind of we got into the flow of the game tonight, and you know, I feel like I've seen it well. I thought those guys would do a good job of you know finding space and you know beating their man one on one. They challenge us in one on ones, and you know I think you know hopefully people continue to do that because I like our guys in one on one matchups. I think it's a little bit different game. We're up 14-7. That first throw to Booty. I threw it in the dirt, had a dig across the middle. It's 14-7. I think I hit it. That's possibly a big play. And maybe get down there and score another time. That'd be huge. So, you know, they challenged us. And I think we felt like in a good rhythm. And, you know, credit to those guys for studying the plan. We're getting in and out of a lot of different calls and different formations and different play calls. So, you know, proud of those guys. And, you know, I feel like we got something to look forward to.
All right, that was your quarterback, Drake May. A couple interesting nuggets that we will have to absolutely come back and unpack once we go to a commercial break and pay some bills. You are listening to the Six Rings Postgame Show on WEEI with Fitzy and Hart. 617-779-7937 is your telephone number. We'll get to your calls and so much more in an action-packed hour of post-game show. Don't you go anywhere.
Yeah, just trying to block out that noise. You know, I think it's a conversation about our coaching staff and, you know, stuff like that. I think it's some BS, to be quite honest. You know, Coach Mayo's, you know, we got his back, and he's coaching hard. He wants to win. We all want to win. You know, we're all frustrated. AVP's been, I feel calling great the past weeks. We're just plays away, and especially me turning the ball over. I think it's just a testament to these guys that keep fighting. We're not going to make the playoffs. We're out of the race, and these guys keep coming in, and I think we're building something good, building something that feels right here, and, you know, I'm proud to be a Patriot.
Patriots rookie quarterback Drake May responding to the critics who said that Jerod Mayo is unfit to be coaching and that Alex Van Pelt may be a sacrificial lamb in the postseason dismissals of certain coaches and or coordinators, potentially for the New England Patriots, once the season wraps up on January 5th. May obviously frustrated once again. The New England Patriots have lost 5 in a row now following today's 24-21 defeat at Highmark Stadium against kind of a gimpy Buffalo Bills team, Andy, that did not come close to putting their best effort out on the field.
No way. But
sloppy from both sides.
That's sort of the time of year we're in. I mean, if you watched games today, injuries, James Conner goes out, Jalen Hurts goes out, like, teams are undermanned or guys are coming back who've been out for a while and they're trying to get them back in the mix. But my takeaway from Drake May, and I know I'm an ultimate May guy, Homer, he's the anti-Mayo. He could not be more impressive at the mic. Like, him defending the coaches, him putting the blame on himself, the red zone, you know, sooner or later it comes down to the quarterback and we've reached that time or whatever. Like, I mean, he's as stand up a franchise guy as you could ask for from a rookie quarterback. Going through this, you know, a team that has 3 wins and turning the ball over, and he's a professional. And
I think,
you know,
it's some BS, to be quite honest.
Like, when he chooses to be a little bit more flavorful in his comments, it's a good thing. It feels like a positive thing for him, for the coaches, for the team, for his leadership. And I'm thoroughly impressed with him on and off the field. I know the turnovers have to stop. I know he now has the longest streak. It's 7 games, and, you know, nobody's done that since Bledsoe for the Patriots and all these things. I get it. And by the way, Bledsoe was a franchise quarterback too.
Drew Bledsoe was
very similar in a lot of ways to Drake May, and I know some people will be like, oh, no. But, like, he was a stand-up guy.
Obviously, he couldn't run.
No. I'm talking about the stature. He said the right thing.
A high character guy with a tremendous professional degree of accountability.
Right.
Absolutely.
And didn't win, obviously, to the level of Tom Brady, but went to a Super Bowl and was really the measuring stick at the quarterback position for this franchise and for a lot of franchises through the 90s there. He was in the mix of marquee QBs. And I don't know, for better and worse right now, I guess you could say, there's a lot of Drew Bledsoe and Drake May comparisons. But I feel better about the quarterback position and the leadership of this team than I ever have. And that's Drake May. Everything else, no idea. Alex Van Pelt, Mayo, Wolf. You know, you tweet out the Patriots have the number 2 pick. Yeah, but do you have any faith in anybody to make those picks? No, I do not, quite honestly. But I'd rather have the pick than not have it.
But at least we have it. So
right.
It's nice to have a good bargaining chip. It doesn't mean I necessarily trust my friend who's going to tell me what game to play or what table to sit down at in the casino. But at least I got a fistful of cash.
Absolutely. Burn that cash.
And we're not going to burn that cash. 617-779-7937 is the number. We go up to the 603. Jack in New Hampshire kicks us off tonight on the Six Rings postgame show. Hello, Jack.
Hello, Vicky. Hello. Whoever else is there. I'm just...
Go F yourself, Jack. You jack off.
Easy, it's Andy Hart.
Oh, Andy. Yeah, Andy. I know you, Andy. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I know you too, Jack, and I don't like you right now.
All right, would you let him make his damn point? It's a short show.
Okay, and I'm short guy.
I'm just sick of Mayo. In the fourth quarter, his clock management was terrible. When they had to punt with 8 minutes left, and then Buffalo had they had 3 timeouts, and they let Buffalo just piss away 5 minutes off the clock. Mm-hmm. And that just shows me that he doesn't know what he's doing. You know, it was a great first half. Mm-hmm. The team was ready, but the second half, they just imploded, and his clock management killed him.
Makes you wonder, Jack, and thank you very much for the call, and a happy holiday to you. It makes you wonder, Andy, like they did come out ready to play. They did come out on fire. It was a great first drive. Drake was dealing. They were hitting hard. We're going to have a conversation before the show's over tonight, and if not, I'll do it tomorrow on the midday show with Jones, and you can do it in the afternoon with Arcand. I think they're better with Antonio Gibson in the backfield at this point than Ramondre because, A, he's more explosive, and, B, he doesn't have the best hands in the world either, but Ramondre's putting the ball on the carpet too much.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're going to deal with fumbles, whoever they have. Gibson's a fumbler. Yeah. Stevenson's a fumbler. They have fumbling issues. It is what it is.
Major fumbling issues.
Especially in a situation like that where the ball became a rock and
hard to hold on. Slick. Yeah. It's not tacky anymore because it's just so darn cold. But there was no counter punch in the game call in the coaching tonight. It was like, this. Here's our first punch. Whoa, Buffalo got caught off guard. They were staggering in the corner. All right, then Buffalo starts fighting back. What else you guys got? Not much. Not till the end, of course, when they get into urgent, hurry-up, desperation mode. I think that's going to be... Look, people that want Alex Van Pelt removed as play caller and they want to see Gerard Mayo run out of town, they're going to find something to criticize tonight's game about, no matter what. They're going to find something to pick at. They'll find a scab. They'll find a moment. I full well understand that. But to play as well as they did... And then just sort of like turtle and like super aggressive and then like kind of conservative, like we got a lead. Let's try to protect it. Keep your foot on the gas the whole damn game. Like, again, you got nothing to lose except a football game, which is, of course, going to improve your draft pick. But that's not the way that they're telling us that they're approaching the matter. So it's all very confusing. Let me take one more call, Andy, before we catch up to the break here. Let's go to the South Shore. Nick is in Weymouth. What's up, Nick?
Hey, how you guys doing? I watched Van Pelt when he was with the Browns. They had no quarterback that particular year. Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt, who was with the Chiefs, that were burning up the turf. Whenever they got in the red zone, they had four or five other quarterbacks, totally inexperienced. I think there was a backup. It wasn't Tyrod Taylor, but it was a guy like that, and he was hurt. They get into the red zone, interception, kickoff return, punt return, and then this guy just goes to pieces. There is no reason for Drake May on that pick to throw a pass at that point. You should have ran Stevenson or Gibson, right? And by the way, I don't remember that because I was listening to that on the radio. What down was that when he threw the pass? Was it first and goal or second and goal to get picked off in the end zone?
That's a good question, actually.
I'll have to look.
Anyways, nonetheless. And then, DeAndre, and I remember the guy on the radio saying, okay, so Stevenson's back after that fumble. Obviously, it was an earlier fumble. And he peeled off a good run. Why not go with that? What they should have showed up with is several running backs in this game. That's how you beat the Buffalo Bills, keeping Frankenstein, the quarterback, off the field. That's how you do it. He's too good. He's going to run every time. And how do you do it? Yes, you pass. You take what passes they give you, and you run to eat the clock. That's what they were doing, but it stopped after the 14 points. And that hand, that pitch, ladder, whatever, you're going to do that on the 5-yard line?
Yeah.
No, you want to get yourself some room and punt the ball. That's all I got to say. But like I said, I'm not just going on this year with Van Pelt. I was rooting for the Browns pretty good that particular year. And I knew it was hopeless because they were not going to have Watson was out for the most of that year, like two and a half years ago.
Gotcha. All right, Nick, thank you very much for the call. Have a good holiday, my friend. That
it was
also
first down on the interception.
It was first. Yeah, it was first down.
First and 10 at the 16.
It seems like there some feet got tangled up. Was Hooper supposed to go? Did May also not get enough on the ball? Was the ball
May
supposed
thought
to be
he was going to break it off.
He thought he was going to break it off just, and come closer. Yeah. Same
and he
page,
said
right.
Hooper must have read whatever. He was going to the back pylon. May wasn't throwing it there. So the ball was not going to get to Hooper where he was.
Right.
I know there was the hit on Bourne, which was sort of away from the play, but was very strange to me. Bourne kind of got lit up in a weird way. I don't know if you can call illegal contact there. I'd like to hear like one of those NBA-style... What do they call them? The last 2-minute review or whatever.
The pool report.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, no, like that, where the league really details every minute. Like, a lot happened on that play that I'm not sure I want a referee explaining to me. I want somebody who watches the film explaining it to me. But the ball was never going to get there. The ball was just absolutely never going to get to where Hooper was headed to. And it was first down. Like the caller was saying, you could have kept, you just had a Drake May completion to Stevenson, gets you down there to 16, first and 10 on the 16. You can run the ball. Why can't you keep running the ball there?
That may have been too aggressive.
It's hindsight is 20-20.
That was 14-7 at that moment, right?
No. It was...
That was 17-14.
They were down 17-14. Okay.
Yeah.
This was the drive right after the field goal.
Yep. Okay. Right after Bass hit the 50-yarder.
But also, just to retort the caller a little bit, Alex Van Pelt didn't call plays in Cleveland.
No, he Kevin was the assistant to Stefanski. Stefanski was always the play caller, correct?
He only called plays during COVID. There were like three games when I think COVID twice and one other reason. But that, other than that, it was all Kevin Stefanski, who a lot of people seem to want. I've even floated the idea of could he be the boss of the offense next year once he gets fired in Cleveland.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. It's also the text line at WEEI. If you would like to communicate with us on the Six Rings postgame show, more of your calls, the Cars for Kids player of the game, Andy's thumbs up, thumbs down, and so much more, all brought to you by our friends at McFarland Energy when we come back.
Here's my understanding of this situation. The Crafts want to keep Jerod Mayo. They believe he is the leader for their organization, for their future, and they knew it would be a multi-year process to get this thing right. That is their stance right now. Now, if things go off the rails, Rich, if they start to really struggle and they lose the locker room the last couple of games of the season, we've seen this thing turn. But as of now, the Patriots believe Jerod Mayo is their leader for the future.
Andy Hart's best friend forever, Ian Rapoport, the rap sheet this morning on NFL Network. Confirming,
I call him Crapper John, MD.
Confirming what many people already believe to be true. To some, a nightmare scenario in Patriots Nation, that the New England Patriots will, in fact, be behind Jerod Mayo, and that barring some sort of cataclysmic finish to the season, he would be brought back for a second chance to prove that he deserves to be the head coach and would be able to renew the faith or restore the faith in the fans, and especially that which has been placed in him by ownership as well. I think all of us thought there was zero chance he was going to get dismissed. And now the fact that the Patriots put up a good fight for at least over a half of the game and didn't look like they were just tucking tail and running on the season, they didn't get blocked. I mean, we had people predicting this was going to be 50-10, 56-17, 48-15. The way Buffalo had been scoring, averaging almost 40 points a game the last five contests. The way the Pats played today, I think, Andy, it is rubber stamped and certified. Mayo's back next year, no doubt, 100%.
I do not believe it's 100%. I think it's very likely, but I think conversations will be had. I think he should be back 100% because nothing that's gone wrong should really surprise anyone. Yes, he's made more mistakes in the media than we expected. We thought he'd be a better spokesman and all that, but he was an ill-prepared head coach who had zero support around him in terms of talent on the coaching staff or on the roster. This is on Kraft and those guys for the plan, and then it's on Elliott Wolf for the team. And you know, you have an inexperienced rookie coach who looks like an inexperienced rookie coach, and you're going to fire him for looking like an inexperienced rookie coach. That seems like it's a you problem, not a him problem.
Back to the phones we go. Here's a guy who's actually a day closer to Christmas than us. It's Jake in Australia, everyone. G'day, Jake.
Hey, g'day, guy. How are we all going?
You know, we're hanging in there, buddy. The game had some moments, but still, you know, another frustrating defeat.
I mean, I feel like they change their garbage time players at the end of every other game to the first quarter this week. Gave it a bit of go, and then all of a sudden the last quarter we had no go, to a degree.
Yeah, there's probably some truth to that. They did get off to a nice start. That was enjoyable, but the urgency was lacking in the end, as was the execution. I got to tell you, the most painful thing was when Mac just, I mean, damn it, did it again.
Take a lap.
Oh, I called it Mac, damn it. When May just dropped the ball in the... like the 6 yard line there and just fell on it and the clock is just ticking and you're like, that's the opposite of ice in his veins and just makes the play with the game on the line. He literally drops the ball.
Yeah, but it didn't matter though, because eventually
maybe there was ice in his veins.
Yeah. Well, it was very, if I wanted to make, yes, no, if I wanted to make excuses, I would say it was freaking frigid. It was stupid cold. And the poor guy has never really played in it. And this is why there should be domes. And, you know, I would go down that road. But the reality is, you know, when life throws frozen lemonades at you, you have to melt them, squeeze them, and make lemonade.
This is true. Very true.
Well, Jake, we appreciate.
Yeah, I mean, the fact we hung with them those real good. A week previous, and they're 42-41 with the Lions. That's not a bad thing.
Is that a moral victory, 24. Jake? Are we going down moral victory Boulevard?
It's a moral victory.
Yeah. Let's
no
go.
No one wants any more of
those. It's a Christmas victory. We'll call it that.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. We're all feeling a little cheerier. It's Christmas time. Have an eggnog. Enjoy the game.
Well, Jake, listen, you have yourself a very Merry Christmas, a great holiday, my friend. Thanks for checking in with us. And, you know, only two more games in this highly memorable season. Thanks for making it a little more fun for us all the way through.
Happy holidays to all you guys and all the listeners out there. And go Pats.
There we go. That's what we love to hear. Thanks, Jake. Jake the Pool Guy checking in from Australia.
Jake the Pool Guy, where it's almost Christmas.
And now here's Jake the Angry Guy in Boston. Hello, Jake.
Oh, no.
What's up, boys?
What's up, buddy?
First of all, Merry Christmas. Second of all, I've been right about this franchise for pretty much the last 6 years now to a T. So it takes a lot right now to make me really angry. But on Saturday morning, when I saw these 72 stories on Instagram from Gerard Mayo's wife of the team holiday party on Friday night, 48 hours before this one at Cabot, a snowy commute from hell, by the way, from Foxborough on that night, and I probably guess a few of them had a few drinks before driving home, which was a no-no, I was apoplectic. First of all, the decor, go back and look at the decor, looks like a vomit 1990s MTV commercial. That was one. No holiday thing whatsoever. It looked like Spaceman junk. But you had a bye week 10 days ago. You gave your players Monday and Tuesday off after quitting in Arizona, and now you want to throw a holiday party. Throw your stupid party during the bye week. You got the last bye week of the season. At least when Bledsoe jumped off a stage in 97, that was basically sporadic, spur-of-the-moment stupidity. This is premeditated idiocy to throw a holiday party when you have a December 8th bye week. Throwing a holiday party when you no-show the week before is even worse on top of that.
Thank you for the call, Jake. That's actually, I was unaware of that. I had no idea the Patriots had a little bit of a holiday party on Friday night. And while everyone is entitled to a holiday party, I always love a good holiday party. Sometimes they take place after the season or after the holiday as well. Normally, the players come in the day after or 2 days after the season's over, bring the garbage bags, clean out their lockers, and away they go. So they're certainly not going to have a January 6th, 7th, or 8th holiday party. However, the optics on that, all things considered, the late bye week, the 2 days off after the craptastic effort out in Arizona, I can understand why that would frustrate some fans, Andy.
Yeah, I don't know all the details. I was not really aware of it either. I don't do the Twitter stalking thing. But I don't really totally disagree with Jake. You could have done that during the bye. You didn't need to do it. Now, the snow was what it was. You know, you plan a party a month in advance. You don't know that it's going to snow that night. I didn't know it was going to snow that night when we did the afternoon show. We had a little get-together for the hosts and producers and such, and it was a bitch of a ride home. Not going to lie to you. It was a bitch of a ride home after that.
Wasn't that fancy?
It was actually nice. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you know what I would also do? I would also tell wives, girlfriends, handlers, etc., no social. Let's just try to keep this on the DL, and if someone finds out, someone finds out. But let's not, considering the current climate and culture surrounding the team and how the environment is a little testy, if you will, or especially in the ranks of the fan base, I may just tell everyone, like, guys, let's just keep this to ourselves. You can take photos. Please, no social.
I agree. I mean, we're going to nitpick each and every one of these things right now because you're going through a terrible season, and that's just the way it works. And that's the one thing where I agree with Gerard, and he's been consistent. We need to win. If you win, it makes these things go away. And if you don't, it magnifies these things. And it's unfortunate that they continue to not be able to win. And despite what Jake says, the first Jake, Australian Jake, good day, mate, Jake,
I don't really feel, this doesn't feel like a moral victory to me. Does it feel like a moral victory to you? Okay.
No, it was good that they were able to come out and compete with Buffalo, that they were able to contain the hottest offense in the NFL. You know, Buffalo wins 24-21. Did it feel like Buffalo really put up a 24 spot on the Patriots? No, because the Patriots gifted them that terrible play call, which was bad by May, bad by Ramondre, the whole entire operation, the call, the deciding to actually throw the lateral on the 4-yard line, Ramondre dropping the ball, everyone involved in that. Stupid.
860 calls it a moral victory. It says -2 wind chill, tough conditions. May made a lot of mistakes, but he outplayed Allen.
He certainly did. Josh Allen. I don't know if Josh Allen was hurt before the game. I know he hurt his hand in the game.
Yep.
If it was even too cold for him, if he was hungover, whatever the case may be.
Whoa,
I don't know.
Whoa.
I'm speculating rampantly. I just said, I don't know
hungover?
If. Who knows?
That's irresponsible.
I said it's rampant speculation. I will own. Something was off. Would you not agree that, like, he was having trouble with the deep. His passing was not as accurate as it was. Like, he's been on fire the last several weeks. He looked a measure off.
Well, he was on fire early in the game when he put one right between the left pinky and the right pinky of Shakir, and he dropped it.
That's a good point.
I mean, could not have put a ball better on his hands. Now, in the second half, at that one that it was, he threw the arm punt, which is truly a Bledsoe term. Mm-hmm.
He used to do that early.
Which was a great arm punt, by the way. Ended at the 1-yard line.
Well, it was only a great arm punt because of the idiot safety.
It ended at the 1-yard line.
He got so lucky dumb. There.
What a dumb play that was. Take it me, guy.
Incredibly dumb. But this was not a moral victory for me. This was, Josh Allen didn't play great. You let them run the ball for 175 yards. Mm-hmm. Drake May didn't play great. And I think it's the way Drake May ended. Again, the dropped ball really bothered me. The clock management, the lack of urgency. And I know he doesn't make the punting decision, but even the punting decision with 8 minutes to go wrapped up in there. This game started that first quarter, and everybody tweeted it. The instant reaction on social media was like, did we just watch the best quarter of football this team has played in a long, long time? Like,
I think so of this season, I do believe.
I think it was, too, and everybody enjoyed it, and I think we all were like, probably no chance they can keep that going, right? And they did not.
No, they are not capable of 4 quarters of consistent, good professional football. Yeah, Drake May, bad decision on that lateral, a little hospital ball to Hooper later on as well. Kid's improving, but we're not here to have there's no referendum on Drake May. Everybody knows that they got their quarterback, and Christian Gonzalez barely got thrown on today. Buffalo knows not to test him out as well. It's just the rest of the team that needs a little gussy up. And by a little gussy up, I mean major talent, and major talent quickly. 617-779-7937 is your number. When we come back, we'll get to Andy's thumbs up, thumbs down, the Cars for Kids player of the game. The last of your calls as well in the final segment of a shortened but always enjoyable edition of the Six Rings postgame show here on WEEI, brought to you by McFarland Energy, the region's most dependable provider of home heating oil delivery, as well as expert HVAC services. It's all available at McFarlandEnergy.com. Six Rings postgame show coming close to a wrap here. Shortened version tonight following the Patriots 24-21 defeat up at Highmark Stadium in Buffalo. Much closer than people expected, but again, there's no second place awards handed out in football and most sports. And, horseshoes and hand grenades, all that jazz. Andy, let's wrap up these calls real quick. Then we'll get to the thumbs up, thumbs down, player of the game, and put a bow in this puppy. Craig is in the car. What's up, Craig?
Hey, gentlemen. Merry Christmas to you both.
And to you as well, friend. Thank you.
So, there's so much to say about this team. I won't even get into how I feel about Gerard Mayo, who I obviously don't want back next year, but I think he will be here, and I think it's only fair to have him back here. But I will say, Elliot Wolf is not getting enough blame for the masterpiece that he put together heading into this year. You know, the offensive line is a joke. The one player he decided to extend is Stevenson. I mean, come on. Like, what did he do to deserve an extension this year, and he's been nothing to help this team. I mean, he's good in the first game at Cincinnati, but outside of that, he's really just been trash, and Wolf should be getting more blame. And luckily, we have May to lean back into next year, but there's really not a whole lot to look forward to in terms of talent. Obviously, you can look at Belichick and what he did in the draft, but outside of that, Wolf needs more blame. He didn't do anything to bolster this line, and you saw it when the Bills were just rushing at May all day today. It's just pathetic.
Yeah, both of those lines definitely need work, Craig. And thanks for the call, and have a happy holiday yourself, friend. I'm telling you, I put it in the Sunday 7 column at WEI.com this week. You know, you had Travis Hunter saying, like, ooh, that'd be cool to play with Drake May. Patriots now in possession of the number 2 overall pick, Andy. But now with Christian Barmore and his unfortunate regression and having the symptoms come back, taking him off the field for the season, and who knows if he'll even be able to get back, if this could be an unfortunate issue that he'll be dealing with in the long term. You can't tell me, save for quarterback, a single positional group or positional room on this team that does not need to be addressed in the draft coming up.
Absolutely. And that's not all on Elliot Wolf. As the caller mentioned, that's on Bill Belichick, where the roster sort of bottomed out. The issue is it didn't begin the rebound last spring, last March and April, other than the quarterback, which I know is a big part. But you had opportunities to take other areas and maybe take a half a step forward, and you didn't. The O-line is as bad as it was or worse. The receivers, Booty, maybe on one of the lists I'm going to be telling you in a minute. But
He's thinking about it.
He might be turning a corner. But no, the reality is, you're right. Other than a quarterback, you kind of need to draft pretty much everything.
Yeah, you do need it. So, like, Travis Hunter, Mason Graham, we have all offseason to do this, but all options should be on the table. Last call, Lukey is in Norwood. What's up, Luke?
Luke.
I am your father.
This is your call, Luke.
Now is when
you talk. Well, unfortunately, we have to let Luke go.
The force is not with Luke.
No, it was not indeed. But let's.
I don't know what that accent was.
I hate to force you to quickly race through your thumbs up, thumbs down. But Andy, which players made the nice list, and who found themselves on old Uncle Andy's naughty list tonight?
So I just mentioned him. I got Kayshon Booty on the up list. I thought he had a really nice game. Obviously, he was the recipient of that beautiful Drake May touchdown pass. Early, just dropped it right in the bucket. Shime and I talked about it pregame. Since July, we've talked about the best throw for Drake May are those deep balls down the sideline, deep balls down the field. And Kayshon Booty started the game with that, but finished 5 catches on 7 targets, 95 yards. That's a good, solid day. If he can do that more often, he'll be fine. I am putting Drake May on the up list. I kind of debated this, and the press conference put him over the top. The leadership he shows, he had a great start. Petered out. I know he had the interception. I know he had the backward pass fumble issue with Stevenson. He had the drop ball on the goal line. But in totality, I think he was actually better than Josh Allen. Jonathan Jones, our guy, great pass defense, great forced fumble that didn't end up being recovered by them, but that little peanut punch. Jonathan Jones played one of his better games of the year. Now we get to the down list. The run defense, you give up a .172 on the ground. You can't tackle, you can't stop the run. But I buried the lead. Ramondre Stevenson needs to bury the ball, his fumbling issues, all of it. Dismal game from Ramondre Stevenson, although he actually ran the ball relatively well. But the lost fumble and then the swing pass lost fumble. And then AVP and Gerard Mayo. I hated everything they did tonight. The fake punt, oh, that's great. But did you do that because I made you do that? I asked you to do that? Did you run Drake May because of that? Some of the play calls weren't great. The decision to punt later. So those guys are on there. And then your boy, last but not least, Marte Mapu. What the hell are you doing trying to run out of the end zone? And then he had another interception hit him right in the hands, and he just flat out dropped it, which was equally as disappointing. Could have been game-changing. So Marte Mapu, he's athletic, but he's got to be better.
Yeah, he looks like somebody who's having a bit of a rookie season, though it is his second season as well. He's got a long way to come. Jabril Peppers was a last-minute scratch, made the inactive list because of a hamstring issue that popped up on Friday. Kyle Duggar looked a little bit better tonight. I don't know what the broadcast was doing, talking about sneaky good coverage skills on... Were they drinking the same things, allegedly, joke coming 3-2-1, that Josh Allen was before the game? Because that broadcast was, I'm joking, Charles
Davis.
No,
they're drinking what I'm drinking right now, a nice whiskey.
Don't admit to it. These are still the public airwaves.
Yeah, no.
All right, finally, it's time for the Cars for Kids player of the game. Cars for Kids, the easiest way to get rid of your old car. Donate today, and your car can be picked up tomorrow. Donate now at Cars for Kids. That's carswithak.com. That's Cars with a K, 1-877 Cars for Kids. Andy, who do we got?
I'm going with the aforementioned Kayshon Booty. I asked before the game to see some advancement from the wide receiver position. Nice long touchdown catch, 5 catches, 95 yards. Maybe he's a keeper. Maybe he's one of the keepers that we can move forward with.
And there we have it, folks. There is your abbreviated but always exciting edition of the Six Rings postgame show. This is our last Six Rings postgame show before the holidays, so we want to take a moment to thank you guys for contributing to the show and helping make us one of the fastest-growing Patriots fan forums in all of New England and Pats Nation. Merry Christmas to you all. Merry Christmas, Andy. Merry Christmas, Joe. Have a wonderful holiday, everybody. I'll talk to you tomorrow on the Midday Show, subbing in for Rich Keefe with Adam Jones. Andy's on the afternoon. It's all part of a Patriots Monday on WEI. The final, once again, from Buffalo. Buffalo 24, New England 21, dropping them to 3-12 on the season. Have a great night. Talk to you soon. And once again, happy holidays, everyone.
Merry Christmas.